Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Tom Evans, president of the Florida Flight Instructor Association and FAST Team lead representative from Tampa, Florida, who is today's host.
Hi everyone, my name's Tom Evans of the Rooftop Studios. Just want to welcome you to the 2010 Sun and Fun here at Linder Field. We're delighted to have all you volunteers helping us with this program, and we want to say thanks to the director of the studios, Mr. Obi Young. With me, I have the privilege of talking about alternative fuels, and we will be talking to Pat Anderson. Pat, glad to have you on board. And if you would, just kind of give our audience out there that's listening in and looking at, what do we want to talk about alternative fuels? Your Emory Riddle, you've worked with them. What have you found? And just give us a synopsis, please, sir.
Yes, I'm a professor of aerospace engineering at Embry-Riddle. I also run the Flight Research Center. And we're concerned about what's going on with environmental issues and renewable issues, and to that end we're putting together a program to try and push forward out of 100 low lead, which has been the fuel we've been using for years, into a renewable unleaded fuel. There are a lot of things that are coming together right now that make this probably the best time to try and do this. A couple of those things are the EPA is looking at lead content in the atmosphere nowadays and probably going to come around and be a little bit more strict with their allowances for lead in the atmosphere. Daytona Beach, which is where Embry-Riddle is known to be pretty high on that, so it's one of our concerns to want to control that and be good environmentalists. Additionally, it's important to the university and the College of Engineering to work on renewable aviation products. So we've partnered together with Swift Enterprises. John Sikowski here is from Swift. To use their fuel in our testing program to try and move our fleet in the near future to a renewable unleaded fuel.
Great. Pat, what are your credentials there at Embry-Riddle?
Well, again, I'm a professor of aerospace engineering. I also run the Flight Research Center, which is the experimental flight test wing of Embry-Riddle, which is the largest university specializing in aerospace engineering and aviation. I have a PhD in engineering. I'm an ATP. I have an AMP, also a competition aerobatic pilot and a soaring pilot.
Fantastic. And you mentioned John over here. John, what are your duties around and how does it in association with alternative fuels?
Yeah, I'm John Zukowski, a vice president of the Renewable Fuels Program at Swift Enterprises. I've been with Swift since 2005 and I'm a co-inventor of the project, co-patent holder. So helped incubate this idea and bring it to the forefront. I work at Swift, specifically with Embry-Riddle, trying to be the technical interface. If there's any issues or any problems, also range the fuel shipments. I mean, just basically all around trying to be in support of the project. So myself, I'm a commercial rated pilot, flight instructor, ground instructor as well, both instructed at a university level as well as gone on for my master's in aviation technology and alternative fuels. So pretty well versed in this and trying to, bring a solution to the forefront.
And tell us about Swift just briefly, John.
Okay. Swift Enterprises has been around since January 1st, 2001, studying power ordnance and propulsion. Like I said, myself and the research director were actually up flying, and the idea for this fuel was born back in 2005 to try and allow us to continue to fly despite what was happening even back then with the lead issue. Obviously nowadays, 5 years, 4 years since, a lot has come to the forefront, and this issue just keeps becoming a hotter topic every season. So want to continue to allow pilots to fly like myself without having to worry about fuel issues, with being that safety net so that when lead is cut away as an additive in fuels that planes are not grounded. So we feel it's a very important issue, one of the most important issues Swift has ever worked on. And happy to be a part of this and a part of the Embry-Riddle partnership on the Green Fleet program, and really just trying to get the word out there that you know, there are options available.
Fantastic. Now, John talks about the lead. Do you see it in the forefront that we're able to eliminate the lead component in the fuel?
Yes, I think getting rid of the lead in the near future is very important. I think that the EPA is going to eventually come around and not necessarily mandate it out, but put into effect the necessary items to allow the industry to move out of using leaded fuel, which previously has been technically challenging because the lead really does help in the usage of modern airplane engines as far as detonation and a bunch of other.
How so, Pat, with detonation? How does that help us?
Well, it puts off detonation, basically.
Right.
So if you were to remove the lead and just take that out, a lot of our high compression engines would start to detonate, which is detrimental to that particular engine. So up until recently, and with Swift Fuel, there really hasn't been any alternative of how to get the lead out and still have the performance that these engines are expected to have. I mean, we have a whole bunch of legacy airplanes out there. It's not as much like the car fleet where there's a turnover. We still use the airplanes that were built back in the 40s. So we have to have something that's going to be able to be used in a wide spectrum of engines that were originally designed to be used with lead. And this fuel does this. This fuel has no lead, and it has 100 octane rating to it. The fuel has been tested at the FAA's Technical Center in Atlantic City, and they've gone through both the detonation testing and the endurance testing on a relatively demanding Lycoming high compression engine and found that it passes those particular tests. So we have pretty high confidence that this fuel is going to work out. Now, having said that, there's a lot of testing that we have to do to make sure that it's acceptable to go out into the whole fleet of airplanes. But that's what we're ready to do. And we've put a partnership together in this Green Fleet project that is Embry-Riddle, which is a big operator and engineering operation for aviation and aerospace, Swift, who manufactures the fuel, Lycoming, which they make a lot of the engines that we use, Cessna, which is gonna be the first airplane we certify on this, and AvFuel, which is the largest non-petroleum-owned fuel distributor in the United States. So I think with those five partners, this green fleet is really going to push ahead, and I think we're going to see the first renewable fuels certified in R-172s here in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Is it true? I had heard that the lead is now coming from England. Is that correct?
Yeah, I hear there's only one source, and I think that's true. So that's another issue, is that we're sole sourcing a big part of our economy.
Sure.
And lead isn't very pleasant stuff, to make a quote. Even in small quantities, it's detrimental to our health. So if we can avoid it, we'd like to do that.
Mm-hmm. Great. And John, your company is already producing this fuel. Are you using it already, and what results are you seeing?
Well, at this point, we're producing test quantities of the fuel because we're not certified, so we can't fly it in a standard certificated aircraft. We're limited to experimental only. We're producing the fuel at a fairly reasonable rate. We're getting ready to scale up now to over 200,000 gallons a year at our pilot production facility. So that will allow us to continue to generate the test fuel, not only for the Green Fleet program, but other testers that we bring into the fold. This will allow us to continue, like Pat said, to accumulate the data and push forward. Now, we need as much third-party data as we can. Not noticing any issues, and you know, it's just a matter of scaling at this point. But we know we can cover the market of 300 to 360 million gallons a year, which is the total 100 low-lead market in the U.S. We know we can cover that with maybe four or five small retrofitted plants to produce this.
When would you project, I mean, if you were to look out on the horizon, when would you see this being online for general aviation?
Well, it's a quite of a conundrum, if you will. We can estimate out into the future 1 to 2 years for final certification. That's assuming that everything goes as planned. See, there's no mechanism in place for the FAA to certify fuels. They can only certify components, engines, and airframes on fuels, and not certify fuels on pre-existing certificates. So we have to chase our certification through the ASTM, which is the American Society for Test and Materials, and they're kind of the research arm of the FAA. We gain our approval through ASTM, which is an industry collective body, and then go in front of the FAA. You know, this process hasn't been done in over 40 years. No one's come up with a new fuel. We went from 100 to 100 in low lead, but the fuel compositionally was really the same. So we're coming up with something completely different, and we need to kind of find out that mechanism. And really, that mechanism is unknown in the FAA. We're going to push forward with Embry-Riddle, and maybe Pat can talk a little how that's going to play out on their end.
And that's true. A lot of the stuff that we're doing right now is actually going through and revisiting the FARs and all the other standards to actually see how you navigate through those to approve a fuel. Like John said, it's not certified. The FAA doesn't certify fuel. So we have to figure that out. And we're working with the people in Washington and in Oklahoma City on what is the plan to actually do that. And believe it or not, that's taken a while. We want to get a consensus, so we're not just pushing it through. We're trying to get everybody on board that they believe in the plan, and that the plan is a safe plan for all of us that also gets the lead out and gets us to a renewable fuel. So there's been a lot of discussion with a lot of people on how you do this, and we're getting pretty close now. So I'm pretty confident that we're going to move out of this area where it's more political of how into the more technical aspects of let's go do this.
Mm-hmm. And John, last question before we bring your colleague up. You've had this ongoing relationship with not only Embry-Riddle, but are you involving other companies?
Yeah, as Pat mentioned, the fold-in with the Green Fleet program is instrumental. We have to have as many stakeholders involved as possible, and we all need to kind of move on the same path. We can't be doing five different paths because that's just counterproductive. We've obviously involved many other manufacturers outside of the ones we mentioned through the ASTM because they're all members. All the light air engine and airframe manufacturers. And so we're trying to involve as many of them as possible. I'm also the Gamma board delegate for Swift Enterprises. And so we're trying to work through Gamma with their industry members and trying to just bring as many people involved as possible. But the folks we're working with at Green Fleet here, the group of companies Pat mentioned, working very close with them on equipment, time, personnel to try and make this happen. So got a really good group there.
All right. John, thanks so much. I'll bring your associate on board as I ask another question then to Pat. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. What results are you seeing, Pat? I mean, the engines are cleaner. Are the results, the powers setting on these engines? What are you finding?
Well, we're finding a lot of interesting stuff. First of all, we have reviewed the tech center's reports on the full certification type tests of the, again, high compression, light homing engine, and see that the detonation test passed, the endurance test, and then that was sent up to light homing to be torn down. And yes, we do see less deposits, less wear. This fuel actually has more lubricity than avgas, so that's sort of interesting. With those results, what we've done is we've come in and come up with an intermediary step prior to certifying our 172s, which is getting operational experience with the fuel to make sure it is exactly the right formulation before we push in the certification. And that step is to run it in a twin engine Seminole, which is what we have here at Sun in front right now. So this Seminole did fly in on Swift Fuel. Uh-oh. And we have it in one side to mitigate a lot of the risks of operating, a single engine on a new fuel. Being a big university, we're very cautious and safety conscious about what we do. So we'd like to really understand what we're getting ourselves into. And the Seminole was the best way to do that, using a twin engine airplane. So we've got about 30 hours of flying time on this engine at this point. We've broken down the engine, not a full overhaul, but taken a lot of it apart each 5 hours and inspected it. We've inspected the fuel injector, the fuel system, done compression, borescoped inside of it. And we see little differences. But on this Seminole, we haven't even tried to optimize the fuel, which we may be able to do later on. We've just poured it in and we're flying it. So you hear that lots of times that we want to drop in replacement fuel, and that's sort of to be seen, but it's very close. Our Seminole right now is operating as a drop-in fuel. Having said that, Ponso has been doing a lot of the test flying in the airplane, and he's going to be able to tell you a little bit about the differences between it. And there are some slight differences between the carburetor settings and spark plug settings and stuff like that. Having said that, again, it will work as a drop-in, but we're investigating how do you start this. It's a little bit different in starting than 100 low lead on the ground. Although one of the benefits, again, of a twin engine airplane is we've been able to go up and do in-flight restarts, which was a concern, and they've all worked out fine. They've never had a problem. As a matter of fact, as soon as you unfeather the prop, it starts without bumping the starter or anything like that. We've even cold soaked the engine so that it was extremely cold while flying around, and it again started right back up. Ponzo knows a lot about that. He works for me as a test pilot. I fly a bunch of the tests, and my wife Carolina works for Embry-Riddle as a test pilot as well. So the three of us have done all the testing in the airplane to this point.
Okay, Ponzo, he says you work for him. Is that something you want to take credit for? No, I'm joking. We won't do that. But tell us about Green Fleet. You're the test pilot. You're testing this new fuel, this alternative fuel that we're talking about. From an instructor side, what are you seeing, please?
The main difference is really that I've seen so far is the starting procedures. For cold, it tends to be a little harder to start compared to, you know, the regular 100 low lead. Also in the ground, you have more mag fouling problems, but you can burn them before you take off without any problem. Once you're up in the air, there's actually no difference at all. I mean, both engines runs the same way. The EGT on the Swift Fuel runs a little higher, about 50 degrees. Engine shut down, I did it in a bunch of them, and all of them worked really fine. So there's not that much difference other than idling setting and starting procedures. Mm-hmm. So from an instructor standpoint, you know, and as Pat mentioned, that's without, you know, making changes to the engine. So I think we're going to be pretty successful in changing things and improving the starting and running on the ground at idle. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. So we give you full credit to our audience. What is your full name so we can get this all over the world for you?
Mikael Ponzo.
Great. And you're from originally?
Brazil.
Brazil. Fantastic. Yeah, that's quite an aviation country. Now, you're flying just Seminoles. Are you flying single engines, just like general aviation here?
Yeah, I started at Embry-Riddle back in 99 as a student and graduated in 03. Started working there as an instructor in 2004, and I've been working there as a full-time instructor, and then I started doing check rides as the check pilot for Embry-Riddle. And then I started getting involved with Pat Anderson on the research center doing experimental flight testing. And just like Pat, I also do a lot of soaring and aerobatic competition.
Okay. Now, where does the name Green Fleet come into play?
That's a good question. Probably Pat can answer that better.
Pat's going to answer the question. Pat?
Well, I did it the way we do things at any big university. We had a contest. So we put out a email to the student body that said, this is what we're thinking of doing. And we want a moniker to go with that and a logo to go with it, which is what you see there on Ponzo's shirt.
Yes.
And we had probably about 50 entrants, and they were all pretty good. This one's kind of simple, but we took a real liking to it. So Green Flight stuck. That went around all the vice presidents at Embry-Riddle, and they all gave it the thumbs up.
Fantastic. Now, we talk about alternative fuels, and for those that are looking in, we think we have some exciting news here because general aviation has needed to take the lead out. And here with Pat Anderson, Embry-Riddle, they're thinking that they have the solution. Now, my question, my thought process, which is shallow as it is, but I've got to ask that question. How now are you taking the lead out or not putting it in it? What other additive are you adding to it so it still causes the low detonation flash point?
Well, that's a pretty interesting question, and it assumes that this is a petroleum-based product, which it's not. So there is no taking in additives or putting other stuff in. It's a completely different compound than anything you've ever seen before.
And it's not soybeans, right?
It's not.
Okay.
Well, not in the raw state. Okay. Maybe later on down the line it might be soybeans, but not right now.
Okay.
It's made of only two pure components, unlike gasolines, which are made of 60-some-odd different components. This is two pure components. And to be quite honest, Swift guys would have to get into the actual chemical composition of that, but there aren't any additives, and it's not like tweaking a gasoline because it's fundamentally different.
Mm-hmm. Is this a patent? Is this something that only you have and the Green Fleet and Swift have, or are other people working on the same concept?
There are some other people working on different types of fuels. This is the only one that I know of that is not petroleum-based, which we as a university like. I mean, that's sure. What universities are supposed to do is push the leading edge of technology, and renewables a big thing nowadays. So we had a choice of a fuel that could potentially work that wasn't renewable, that was petroleum-based, that had some merit, and we had a choice of using this. And we decided that the renewable was important enough that made a big difference to us, and we decided to go with the Swift fuel.
And it's still excited enough to the point where you're heading in the right direction. All the results and all the data and the research is coming back very, very positive for you then?
I'm really surprised, actually. We do a lot of flight test work at the research center, and things always go in different directions
sure.
than what you expect. And so far, we're in the beginning stage, but so far, this has worked out better than we expected. So
wow.
We expect problems. We expect to build in sort of break periods to go figure out things in experimental flight tests. And that's why we do that, so people here at Sun and Fun aren't figuring it out on their own. So there are going to be surprises. But so far, this fuel has worked as advertised or better. So we're really happy with that.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to wind this up, but I want your comments and what you see and what's influenced your company and the way that you work as a CFI on the airplane. So if you had to leave us with a comment or two, if you would just let us know your feelings so far, especially from the Green Fleet Emery Riddle.
Well, we got to take care of the earth that we're living in, so that's a good way to start. Okay. Helping the environment.
Okay. Great. And Pat, you, sir, what observations, comment would you like to leave for our audience, please, sir?
Well, I think this is really important for the future of aviation. There's a couple of things that are going on. One being that we need to move to renewable products. Petroleum's still out there, and petroleum's still relatively cheap. But those days will eventually come to an end. I don't know if that's going to be in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, but that's coming down the line. In addition, there's the issue of lead, and I think it's important to get the lead out of the atmosphere. I think it's health-wise detrimental to everybody. So because of those two reasons, I think it's really important to push forward on this topic and get a renewable unleaded fuel. I think the time is really right, and you see that in these companies because Cessna, Lycoming, AvFuel, and Embry-Riddle are all enthusiastic about doing this, so I think it's the right time.
Great. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being part of the program, Swift, the Green Fleet, and Embry-Riddle, and we just hope it works because we do need some changes there. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the rooftop part. My name's Tom Evans, 2010 Sun and Fun. Thank you so much for tuning in.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.